Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing? A little frazzled today?
I'm not frazzled, but you know what? I have to apologize to our live listeners because I'm never late. I just don't like to be late. But my daughter was inducted into the National Junior Honor Society this morning. Can't miss that, you know?
Nope.
It was great.
See, she's an overachiever like you.
I don't know. No, doesn't get it from me. I think it must be my better half, my husband. We have a great show this morning. You know, our listeners kind of run the gamut as far as their ages, but whether you are 20 or you're 70 or you're 90, everybody has someone in their life that they're taking care of. Usually that's a little bit older. We call them seniors. So we have a show this morning put together that talks a little bit about seniors and in how we can help them in Atlanta, some resources to provide them. And we also are ending the show with a little special treat. So if you like rum, stay tuned. First up this morning, we have Felicia Keaton of Seniors Helping Seniors. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.
So Felicia, you are an owner of Seniors Helping Seniors. We want to know what the program is and tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, Seniors Helping Seniors is an in-home non-medical care service that we provide to the Northeast Atlanta area. We provide companion care, respite care. We also provide transportation. We do homemaker services, handyman work, things of that nature, any and everything to keep the seniors independent and active and independent.
Is your company a one-of or is it a franchise?
It is a franchise. We started 11 years ago out of Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, and we are growing. We are located all over the East Coast of the United States, as well as we have some partners in California and in Michigan. So right now we have 30 franchises and over 50 partners.
Wow, that's a lot of growth. What were you doing before Seniors Helping Seniors? How'd you get involved?
Well, my background is actually human resources and recruiting. However, my husband and I, Kenneth, who is my partner with Seniors Helping Seniors, we both decided once he retired after 21 years in the Air Force that we wanted to do something to give back to our community. And since we both had done a lot of volunteering with senior organizations like Habitat for Humanity and things of that nature, we decided that we wanted to start our own business. And what better way to give and receive is to work with seniors.
How did you choose the Atlanta area?
We flipped a coin. Actually, I had lived here back in the early 90s for a brief stint. And, you know, once my husband retired, we said it's either going to be Georgia or Texas. And so we're here. I won.
And it's mostly in, would you say, Forsyth County?
Yes, we are located in the Forsyth County area. However, we do operate some territory in Gwinnett County as well.
Do you provide nursing care, or is this all, you know, like you said, handyman and transportation, things like that?
We are non-medical, so okay. We don't provide any nursing care.
And that's great because those are resources that a lot of folks do need, and when their children work, it's hard to provide that. So what else can you tell us about Seniors Helping Seniors? What are some of the things you've seen in the Atlanta market? You can maybe tell us a success story, a story of how you've helped someone.
Well, it's interesting. We were all talking earlier. You know, the main concern that we hear from our clients, the seniors, is that they don't want to be bothersome to their loved ones, their care providers. And that's what I've seen a lot since I've been here. And having Seniors Helping Seniors as a strong presence in our community, it has really opened the doors and given the seniors a lot more independence, if you will. And so that's pretty much the main concern is that I hear that, you know, the families, they don't want to be bothersome. They don't want to burden their loved ones.
And you also help seniors get involved to help the other seniors, right?
That is very unique about Seniors Helping Seniors because we only hire seniors to provide the services to our clients.
Wow.
And that's a gift in and of itself because, you know, the seniors that we bring on, they genuinely want to volunteer these services. They're mm-hmm. not looking to get paid. And, you know, the special perk is that we do pay, you know, so they have movie money, extra spending money, you know, just to do different things in the community. And they're also building camaraderie, you know, they can actually relate to their clients and they don't feel like they're going to work. They feel like they have a long lasting friendship.
That's a great idea. You know, I guess I should have known that from the title, Seniors Helping Seniors. But what a win-win situation. You have seniors that are looking for something to do, and then others that probably they really enjoy each other's company as well.
Exactly. They walk away with, you know, friends, long-lasting relationships.
What's the best way for people to reach you if they want to reach out for either employment or for a senior to help them?
Just seniorshelpingseniors.com, and if they wanted to send us an email, it's shsga@comcast.net.
Now, can someone use your services, like, periodically, or, you know, does it have to be on a set schedule?
They can use us 24 hours a day if they like. We are available, and we have people waiting to go, so, and willing to help.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We hope people will check out our website and check out Seniors Helping Seniors. Next up, we have Lewis Mann of Atlanta Home Care Partners, who's the Executive Vice President. I'm anxious to know a little bit more about Atlanta Home Care Partners. Lewis, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.
So tell us, what is Atlanta Home Care Partners?
Atlanta Home Care Partners is a non-medical in-home care for the elderly business where our employed caregivers are placed in people's homes so they can stay there.
So this does provide medical care then?
No, it's non-medical.
So someone that like needs help opening jars and just can't, might have a disability? Can you walk us through
sure,
any scenario?
Sure. It's anyone. Basically, what we do is people, as they get older or as they have had an injury or as they have had a situation, a medical event that has caused them to lose the ability to function during the day, the daily functions of life. And I like to think of it like if for people who are trying to understand what we do, if you think about it, when you get up in the morning, you have to get ready and get bathed and get dressed and brush your teeth and get your meal and go to the grocery store and get your food. All of those things are what we help people with. And what happens is with seniors is they lose independence, and what we try to do is add independence back to their life. And it's really the easy part is finding people who can help them with the functional needs that they have, like getting dressed or cooking their meals or washing their clothes.
Or like take them to do grocery shopping or things
right.
like that. Just the daily tasks that maybe are too overwhelming for them.
Right, that they have either because of you know, an event or that just they've gotten older, they can't do by themselves any longer.
How long have you been involved in this market?
For the last 3 years.
And have you seen it growing?
It's definitely growing. The whole baby boomer generation is getting older, and as there's going to be a real increase in demand for these services as people in my age group reach their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
So if someone is reaches out to you, is it normally the person that needs care or is it a family member?
No, it's typically the children of parents who call us with a need. They have either are caring currently for their parent and they get to the point where it's just too overwhelming, you know, trying to work and take care of their own children, or they live out of town and they come into town and you know, they find out that their parents are having a tougher time and you know, they haven't been told that previously, and so usually the call comes from the children.
So the child thinks that everything's fine because the parent tells them everything's fine, and then maybe they visit and they go, wow, this place is a mess, or, you know, you haven't paid your bills in a while. And then that's something they would contract you for, like, X number of hours a week to just kind of make sure everything's okay?
Absolutely. They come home, and the other thing they do is they get in the car with their parent and ride around the and realize that they are both, it's unsafe for them to be driving and unsafe for the other drivers on the road. And so they, you know, go through that very difficult task of trying to pry the keys away from their parent. And they give us a call, and that's the other thing that we can do is provide transportation to take people to the hairdresser, to the grocery store, to church, to the women's club, the garden club, and be their arms and legs.
Is there any continuity of service where they get kind of the same person every time?
Absolutely. That's what we try to do. Our business model requires that people staff a minimum of 4 hours a day, and that's basically because for a caregiver to drive to provide service, it makes business sense for them to be there for a certain amount of time. And then for us, it's easier to staff a person for 4 hours a day and then a minimum of 20 hours a week, and then have them with two clients. So that's kind of our minimum delivery model.
I want to open it up to both Felicia and Lewis. I'm curious. So if say I have an elderly parent and I want someone to come take care of them, walk me through the process, if you would, Felicia, how you pair a senior up with, say, my mother. Is there a personality profile, or how would you go about pairing them up? Is it by their needs? You know, say I have a mother at home that likes to play cards and needs someone to drive her around. How would you go through that process of pairing the person up?
Absolutely. It's a compilation of those things. We do what is called an assessment. We actually go out into the senior's home, and we assess their needs. And we try to gauge their personality, some of the likes, some of their dislikes. And then, we can then go back to the office and, look through our database and find the right provider with maybe some of those same interests. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the main goal, is to keep them feeling like they're working with someone, like they have a friend or a companion more so than just someone that works for them. So, sure. And then once we, kind of gauge and see that they have some similarities, we contact the provider of services and tell them a little bit of, about that individual, give them a history, a background, and see if that's someone that they'd like to work with. We're really flexible in that area with our providers because we want them to be happy. Mm-hmm. If they have some type of camaraderie, some similarities, I think that, the relationship will be more grounded, and I think it'll be successful.
Sure. Now, Lewis, your helpers they're workers. They're not necessarily seniors. In most situations, they're probably not. Tell me how you go about the process of pairing them up.
It's done the same way, basically, that Felicia has talked about. We require that we go into the home that the ultimate client is there, and their family members or the family that's going to be responsible, because the key to success is matching the right caregiver with the client, and it all boils down. It's very easy to find somebody who can functionally take care of you and make sure that helping you get dressed and drive you around. What's most important is that they know what you like and their personalities match. And so the real key is to sit down with the family and talk to them and the client. It's difficult. So because in this situation, people are not forthcoming. They are very concerned about inviting somebody into their house. And so typically, additionally, what we do is after about 30 days of service, once somebody has accepted a person into their home, we go back in and revisit and redo the plan of care because we know more about what that client likes and dislikes.
Terrific. Both of you, thank you so much for being with us today. Lewis, how can people best reach you?
They can call us at 404-228-0103 or sign on to our website, and which is www.atlantahomecarepartners.com, and send us an email via the link there.
Any final thoughts from either of you? We hope that our listeners will check it out and check out your websites. And both of you, very incredible options for
it's just nice to know those
parents.
Services exist.
You know what? Absolutely, Lee. It's nice to know those services exist because nobody wants to put their parents in a rest home.
Right. And you want to keep them in their houses?
As long as possible. Absolutely. Next up, we have Miles Hurley, who's an elder care attorney. And I didn't even know there was such a thing, Lee.
I know. Talk about a specialist.
Miles, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks, Amy, to you and to Lee as well.
So you've been practicing law how long?
Hate to say that, but up to 17 years now.
Wow, since you were 12.
So are you done practicing?
Thanks so much.
Are you done practicing? Have you got it now?
You know, it's always trying to figure out what you're not doing just exactly the best way possible.
Were you always in this field of elder care?
The whole time I've been practicing, I've been doing parts of elder law. However, we have made it to where it is the only part of our practice over the last 3 years. So we have limited our practice now.
And tell us some of the things you're seeing right now.
I think that's a very open question.
Of course it is. Just maybe the top three.
Really what we're looking for is we're looking for clients the same as Lewis and Felicia are looking for, and that is people who have lost some kind of functional capacity, meaning that they really cannot do everything for themselves anymore. And therefore, the goal of our practice is to help people to find, get, and subsequently pay for good long-term care, whether that be in the home setting, be it in assisted living, or be it in a skilled nursing facility. The goal, of course, also being that we want to keep them in the least restrictive environment that's possible while making sure that that environment is also safe.
So why would someone need to hire an attorney for this?
Well, you all first said just a few minutes ago, I've never even heard of an elder law attorney. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest reason. In the end, what the scenario is for most people is that they're scared that they're going to run out of money. And they don't know how to pay for things. There are very limited ways in which one can pay for long-term care, being you can pay for it yourself out of your income and assets. You can turn to your family for help. If you had foresight, you may have some long-term care insurance. People, when they come into our office, can no longer get it.
Right. Too late.
That's right. A lot of people think that Medicare is going to pay for their long-term care, but really it doesn't. There are very, very, very limited benefits that go along with Medicare. So that leaves only two other options truly out there. The first is looking to the VA. Many of our clients served during World War II or are surviving spouses of that. If that's the case, we can help them to get VA benefits that will help to pay for their long-term care. And then finally, we have Medicaid, which is truly a safety net. And what Medicaid does, unfortunately, in Georgia at this point, is basically it only will pay for care in a skilled nursing facility. And most anyone will tell you that's the last place that they ever want to be. So we help them to understand all those things. But just as important as that is we take a comprehensive look at people. I actually have a nurse on my staff. And so we would do an assessment similar to what Lewis and Felicia would do with their clients. But then we actually follow our clients through the rest of their lives as their conditions continue to deteriorate and their care needs change. So we help not only our clients but the client families understand how to advocate for good care, because we don't want to hear about all these terrible stories about nursing home abuse or assisted living home abuse or, for that matter, in-home care abuse. So, not that that's an issue.
That's why you use reputable companies like the two we have on today, right?
That's exactly right. So, really what we're doing is we're helping to lay out a care plan for people, and then as their conditions change, as everyone's will, as they continue to lose functional capacity, go through and change what that plan is.
Now, how often are your clients seeing you? Is this an annual checkup, or like how often do you meet with them?
It may be that often. In the beginning, especially if we've got somebody who comes to us while their parent is in a hospital, we're going to help them to deal with where they're going to go when they get out of the hospital. If they're going to skilled nursing for rehab, or if they're going to be discharged and go straight home, or if they need to go into an assisted living facility, help them understand what they need to look for in each of these facilities together with what the costs are that are involved. once they get settled, then we'll go in and see really what are all the needs that they're facing and how can those needs be handled. Then, as things change, people are able to call and speak, in most cases, directly to the nurse on our staff about what's going on with the changes and what else may need to be done.
Do you advocate for the client in terms of making sure they're getting all their insurance supposed to provide for them?
That's one of the parts of what we do, and we'll also help them to go in and review the Medicare coverage they have, including whether or not they're in a position where a Medicare Advantage plan, which is an HMO, would be appropriate for them, if they're better off having some kind of a Medicare supplement, and also depending on what all the prescription drugs they are on, which is normally too many, also look and see if they have the right Part D program out there.
Gosh, there's so much to that, too. You just, you saw a light bulb go off in my head, because that's a foreign language to so many people, and for someone like yourself that has it figured out and specializes in it, what a wonderful resource. How can people reach you if they have a mother or father or they are a senior themselves?
The easiest way to reach us, they can call us on the phone at 404-843-0121. Again, that's 404-843-0121. Or they can reach us through our website, which also has a lot of information on it, at www.hurleyeclaw.com. And again, that's www.hurleyeclaw.com. Hurley, which is HURLEYECLAW.com.
Now, before you go, Miles, one bit of preventative advice. When should a person start looking for, like, this long-term care insurance? What age should a person start really checking into that?
Well, there's all kinds of various theories on that. The younger you are, the lower the premiums are. But with that also being the case, the longer you're going to actually be paying. If you're looking at it purely from thinking about long-term care as you are aging, I would tell people that they need to have looked at it by the time that they're 55. As you get older than that, the premiums do start to go up, and as conditions start to come out, it may be more and more difficult to underwrite. However, there are plenty of people who have been fortunate enough to take it out when they were younger who then are subsequently diagnosed with MS or ALS or in a catastrophic car accident or other issues like that, and their long-term care needs become much greater.
Sooner than they anticipated.
Sooner than one would normally expect them to occur.
Good stuff.
Great stuff. Thank you for being with us today. And gosh, you know, my mom's almost 70, so that's about time for me to start thinking about that. But my in-laws are in their 80s, and there's a lot that goes into that. And there's, you know, when you talk about the long-term care and the health insurance, there's just so much involved. And there's so many, hoops you have to jump through to be able to file the insurance. So it's great to have resources like that. Lee, we're ending the show on kind of a funny note today, but I'm excited to have Kevin Martin in the studio today. I know he travels a lot, and I'm very excited to have him here with us today because he also brought us treats. Kevin Martin is the managing director and partner of, and I hope I say it right, is it LeBlanc?
LeBlanc, that's right.
You say it much more, it's got a little bit of a twang to
it. It's actually LeBlanc. A French name. It's the name of an explorer who came from France to Rio de Janeiro and put his stamp on a beach there. So you have Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and then LeBlanc Beach in Rio.
So LeBlanc is what, rum?
It is in the rum family. It's actually a cachaça. Cachaça is the third most distilled spirit on the planet, after vodka and something called soju, which is basically distilled sake. The relatively unknown category, however, because about 95% of cachaça is consumed in Brazil.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
It's popular there. To say the least. How do they drink it?
They don't bathe in it, but I think it may have happened once or twice. It is the national spirit of Brazil. If you go to Brazil, cachaça is to Brazil what tequila is to Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's what they drink there.
So how did you get involved as the managing partner?
Well, we were a three-year-old company, and about 3 years ago, one of my former coworkers, a fellow named Steve Lutman, was the vice president on Grand Marnier in the United States, on the marketing team. I worked down the hall from him as the marketing director on Johnny Walker. So we had a long history, and we worked well together and lunched together and compared notes. They dissolved the company and sold some of the brands, and we went our separate ways. Steve's in-laws, however, are Brazilian, and he kept going back and forth over holidays and family functions, and they would drink these drinks in Brazil called caipirinhas, and the caipirinha is basically the signature drink for cachaça. So when they broke up the company, Steve said, I know what I want to do. I'm going to bring cachaça to the U.S. And bring a good one, at that, for that matter. So he called me and sent me a sample. I told him he was crazy. I said, this is not going to work. You're out of your mind. What are you thinking? You know, we're a one-brand startup going against Bacardi, you know, going against Captain Morgan. You know, this is a huge established companies. But we got some funding, and in fact, we just took some investment from Bacardi. They're now our biggest investor, so.
Wow, that's interesting too. So, who are you looking to meet? Are you looking to meet other distributors or restaurants? I mean, who are you looking to meet?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of places where adult beverages are served. Obviously, those are the kind of people we're talking to: the retailers, the operators out there, the restaurateurs, who are looking for something new and something that would help spice up their beverage offerings. You know, one of the questions I ask, you know, these are tough times for a lot of restaurateurs. You know, certainly, you know, your traffic may be down, but what are you doing differently? What are you adding to your menu? Mm-hmm. Are you hunkering down and trading people down, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Or are you bringing them something new and exciting like the caipirinha and cachaça in Brazil? I mean, it's really a new burgeoning category, probably the fastest growing category in the spirits business right now.
Is there a specific type of cuisine or food that mixes well with the drink?
Well, the drink is generally citrus-based, so the classic caipirinha is limes. You can make it with mango, pineapple, strawberry. Kiwi is a really exotic one that people love. So generally, you know, it's more of a cocktail occasion versus dining occasion, but we find them in some really crazy places, as you might imagine.
In some really crazy places. Now you've got my mind wandering.
I spend a little time in South Beach on late nights, and the mojitos and the caipirinhas are flowing heavily down there about 2 in the morning on a Saturday. So that's our top market for sure.
Do you have any other crazy stories for us?
I'm sure he's got quite a few.
I have a feeling my wife is going to be on the on this listening to this. But no, it's. I'll give you a comparison. I worked on Johnny Walker for 6 years, which was you know, fabulous job and a really great experience. Lots of golf courses, steak dinners, cigars, and silver-haired men with snifters talking about their companies.
So this attracts a different crowd?
God bless them. Yeah, and, you know, that was fabulous, and we would talk about the nuances of single malts and blue label and things like that.
That attracted the folks that need the senior helpers.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know I know a few, absolutely. This is certainly a different environment, much more of the party scene, the clubs, the you know, and a lot of the rooftops and patios and outdoor kind of drinking occasions that you'll find in South Beach, or, you know, I was just out in Laguna Beach in California, which is just a gorgeous place, and these kind of drinks just round off the experience for people there.
Love that. I can't wait to taste it, Lee. It might
be
too early.
He can whip some up. He was ready to go.
I'm ready. I've got my kit. I don't travel without my kit. I've got my shaker, ice, limes, and we can do it right here if you want.
It's happy hour somewhere, right?
Exactly.
That's my credo.
I'm looking
forward
to it.
It's happy hour somewhere.
You know what, Lee? It was a great suggestion on your part to end the show with Kevin rather than to begin, because I think I'm going to have a cocktail.
I insist that you at least taste it, and I brought you guys a little bit that you can maybe crank up for the Super Bowl.
Fabulous. Great. Thank you.
And
thanks
this
so
is
much.
An ultra premium. This isn't the run of the mill.
No, this is a small batch. I'll give you a little history on the production. Small batch rum. We cut our cane, and within hours we are at the distillery with it, so there's no fermentation of anything. It's not out of our control. We ferment in small batches. We throw out the parts of the distillation that are harsh, kind of like the way they make single malts and fine cognacs. We age it, in fact, on XO cognac barrels to bring some vanilla into the product, and we bottle it in France. Actually, we have a special glass producer there that we use, and then we bring it to the States. So it is premium. It's handcrafted all the way, And we win awards every year, gold medals and lots of spirits competitions. So very high quality product.
And the bottle's cool, too.
And that's a bonus, right?
Well, it lessens the hangover. The less harsh esters and alcohols in there, the more you can get going the next day.
Lee, any final thoughts? We're running out of time.
Where can people learn more?
You can find me. You can just call me on my cell phone if you'd like. 917-613-5328. And you can also find us on the internet at LiveLoveLeBlanc.com. So
and that's LEBLON.
That's right, LEBLON.
I can't wait to taste it. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today. We hope folks will order one of these fabulous drinks next time they're at
at restaurants everywhere, right?
Absolutely. We have strong distribution across the country. So
ask for LeBlanc, right?
Please.
LeBlanc.
Caipirinha.
I don't know that I'm going to attempt that, but they'll know if I just say LeBlanc.
Hopefully, we've done our job and they know what you're talking about when you get that far.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for being with us today. And listeners, thanks for listening. We hope you'll be with us again next week. Lee, any final thoughts?
No. Great show.
Have a great day.